Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben Crenshaw. We finally have a cooler temperature this morning. And the high isn't going to be 92 today. It's going to be 85, which, you know, seems like a chilly kind of temperature. Scattered showers before noon today. Otherwise, mostly sunny. High 85. Breezy winds east, northeasterlies, 18 to 21. Gusts as high as 29 miles per hour. And chance of precipitation about 30%. And then tonight, mostly clear with a low around 77. Breezy, again, those east, northeasterlies, 18 to 20, maybe a 28 mile an hour gust occasionally. And tomorrow, it'll be sunny. The high will be 84 degrees. Breezy. All right. The winds are still about 17 to 20. They're still east, northeasterlies, and the gusts could be up to 28 miles per hour. But of course, you want to get out on the golf course and you want to play a round of golf. Well, we've got tee times for you. We've got tee times. Volcano has an 8:32 and a 9:10, and we want to give you two rounds at Volcano Golf Course. All right. Two rounds at Volcano Golf Course. All you got to be is the ninth caller, 808-545-1111, 808-545-1111. Makalei has an 842 and a 918, and we've got at Poipu the 1140 or 1150. And just a reminder, not only are they doing the bunkers, they're also doing the aeration. And if you want, you know, you can play nine holes twice, but 18 isn't open right now while they're doing the bunker restoration. We've also got Hawaii Kai 916 and a 1050. Turtle Bay has an 842 and a 936. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 930 and a 1006. That's a really cool course. It's like the front nine's wide open and the back nine's Jurassic Park. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 9 o'clock and a 1048. Wailea Gold has a 950 and a 1020. And the Cold Brew, they're going out. That's right. We've also got Kapalua. They're working on aeration, too. And that's all of their everything. Everything's being aerated on the Kapalua course. So be prepared. And the Ladies' Lawyers, they're going out. So you could play at Kapalua if you wanted to, or you can play at the Blue Course. There's an 1150, a 1210, and a 1220. And at Maui Nui, there's an 840, a 952, and a 1024. So may you all hit that sweet spot every time. We're going to come back and we're going to talk with Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel NBC Sports, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions just like the pros. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever. And the Sentry starts off the PGA Tour's 2025 season at Kapalua, January 2nd through the 5th.
Yeehaw! I always, when I hear the Sentry is coming out, yeehaw! It's going to be so good. Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel NBC Sports commentator, analyst. He's a member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame and member of DePaul University Hall of Fame. Go to GolfHawaii.com. It's about Golf Hawaii travel and global golf adventures. Are you still doing that? Mark Rolfing, welcome into the clubhouse.
Well, good morning. And, I dabble in a little bit, but, I'm kind of starting to wind things down a little bit. And, the thing about golf in Hawaii right now is things are going pretty well. So where I had to really promote the islands and try to convince people to come out here and play golf 30 years ago, I don't have to do that much anymore.
Oh, that's great. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you feel accomplished?
Well, I do. I feel lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. And there's no place in the world. Obviously, I'm biased. I've lived here almost 50 years. But there's no place like Hawaii. It's such a diverse place. And when I heard you reading off all these tee times, that were open, every one of these courses is different. It's not like going to the desert where all the courses are pretty much desert courses. You got mountain courses, seaside courses, you know, links, all sorts of different kind of courses. Hawaii's one of the most diverse golf destinations anywhere on the planet, probably the most diverse.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. You never, you know, and that's the beauty of it. And the vistas you get, you know, just the mountains. If you hit a bad shot, just look at the mountains. Forget about it. Go on to the next one. I'm sure the LPGA would like to forget about what happened yesterday with the fans, don't you think?
Boy, do they. I don't know. It really shows me, Danielle. It was just such a sad, sad thing because the Solheim Cup, you know, is their flagship event as far as I'm concerned. The U.S. Women's Open is a big event, obviously. But, you know, I really do not believe that these organizations like the LPGA or the PGA Tour, I don't believe they should be in the business of running tournaments. You know, both of them do it on a part-time basis. The LPGA, week in and week out, tournaments are run by local host organizations. And why they choose for their biggest event to have their own organization that doesn't run golf tournaments all year long, run this one, to me is a big mistake. They should be in the business of running a golf tour, not individual golf events.
Absolutely. I mean, the number of people standing in line and then saying, I have to wait 2 to 3 hours for a bus to get from the parking lot to the tournament. I'm sorry. I think I'm going to go home. I think I'm going to go back to my hotel. I mean, the numbers were fantastic. The amount of people who want to see the women compete in the Solheim Cup was awesome. Absolutely. I was thrilled to see those numbers.
Yeah, once they got there, it was fantastic. It looks to me like they fixed it for today. But I think the damage was done. Unfortunately, you know, that's more what people have been talking about is the crowds and the problems they had with that compared to how well the U.S. has played. There has been some of the best golf I have ever seen in the ladies' game played in this Solheim Cup, but people still aren't talking about it. And, boy, if we don't talk about Allison Corpus,
oh,
and
yes,
the shot that she hit on the 14th hole, I know you're going to go there. You know, it's been phenomenal golf.
It has been. It has been. And somebody said she topped the ball. I said, she didn't top the ball. You watched it.
Well, yeah, I didn't watch it live. I've only watched the highlights. But basically what was happening was that the U.S. was, you know, getting, you know, into a position where both Nellie Korda and Allison Corpus were in trouble in the match. 14th hole, it was alternate shot, and Allison had a second shot into the par 5, and she absolutely cold-topped it. And it looked like it was going in the water, and somehow it skipped sideways and bounced around the bunker and onto the green. And then sure enough, you know, once it got up on there, all Nellie Korda had to do was stand up and stroke in a 25-footer for an eagle. That changed the entire match. That could have changed the Solheim Cup, literally.
Yes, it was a brilliant shot. She looked down, and when she saw it, she went, did I do that? she's amazing. You know, Allison Corpus is amazing. And isn't this her second Solheim Cup?
It is. And, you know, she and Nellie are such a good team. You know, they're working on 4 in a row now, matches that they've won in Solheim Cup competitions. I love Allison's attitude, and she just is such a rock and so steady in terms of a personality. You know exactly what to expect from both of those players. So they are a tremendous pair. And, you know, this Solheim Cup is not over yet. You know, the Europeans are still within 4 shots,
yeah,
or 4 points. That's a big deficit to overcome. But we've seen it happen, not only in Solheim Cups, but Ryder Cups and President's Cups. So, you know, 4 points is the most that Europe can be trailing at the end of today if they still want to win.
Okay, so tell us about the Robert Trent Jones Jr. Golf Club, where this is being played.
You know, this is a club that's been in existence for a long, long time. It's right on the river in the Washington, D.C. area. It's about 40 miles outside of town. It's a wonderful golf course. You know, it doesn't week in or year in and year out, does not host a PGA Tour or LPGA event. I think it could. It's a great golf market. We can see how avid the fans are and how they showed up. But I really like the way that the Solheim Cup travels around to not necessarily courses that you see that often. They go to Des Moines, Iowa. You know, they go to Minneapolis. They go to places, you know, that people are really looking and starving for championship golf. And that's why that event has become so successful. It seems like we've had too many of them lately because there was a Solheim Cup last year and then a Solheim Cup this year. They're trying to catch up and get back into the even years and the odd years so that they don't play the same years as the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, 100,000 spectators showed up for the Solheim Cup. 100,000. That's a huge, huge number. I'm just really, and then President Obama, he arrives just to say hi. You know, they didn't do a lot about him being there. He just kind of walked along and waved to the crowd, but he's a member of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Golf Club, so he dropped in. That was a cool moment.
You know, it shows me, Danielle, that golf fans do like team golf. You know, there's been so much talk with this whole LIV thing about whether team golf has a place and whether, you know, you can do, you know, more than one Ryder Cup style event. I think the reality is team golf will be embraced by golf fans. And, people like to root for something. And when you have a team interest, there's more of a rooting interest for the game. And golf fans love to root. Having said that, you know, I think the event that ought to think about changing itself a little bit would be the President's Cup. And I'm of the opinion that it's about time now that the President's Cup became a mixed team event.
Uh-huh.
I would love the Solheim Cup be just the ladies, the Ryder Cup be just the men, but that the President's Cup became ladies and men together. I think that would be really compelling.
That's Stacey Lewis's position. And I was going to ask you what you thought about that. She said it should be a mixed team competition.
Yeah, I think it would be great. The problem is ownership of that event. The PGA Tour owns that event. The LPGA has kind of nothing to do with it right now.
Right.
But I think, you know, the men need to really look at the women in general and say, you know what, the future of our game and the growth of our game right now is headed in two directions. It's women and juniors, and those are the people that are really starting to embrace golf. And that's why it has grown so much. So I don't think there would be any harm at all, and I think it would be really attractive to have the men and women play together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also really cool how international the Solheim Cup is. I mean, the first Swiss, I have to say this because I'm of Swiss, Swiss and English. The first Swiss to play in the Solheim Cup is playing this year, Albin Valenzuela. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, it's the same thing that we saw happen with the men in Europe forever and ever. You know, the European side was only Great Britain and Ireland. And then even when they did expand it to include continental Europe, that was back in the Ballesteros and Langer area and all that for the Ryder Cup. It took a long time before you saw anybody like Victor Hovland, you know, from a country like that, or Thomas Peters from Belgium. It took a long time to have those other countries come in, but I love seeing the game growing in places like that, and it really is exploding. So more and more, you're going to start seeing players on these teams from some of the smaller countries.
Yeah, because, you know, there's not a lot of flat land in Switzerland to become a great golfer.
No, there's not.
But it's getting more popular because you get to be outdoors and you get to walk and it's good for you. And that's awesome. I couldn't find this. The LPGA transport disaster. Beth Ann Nichols from Golf Week was like all over this yesterday and today. She's like, but they finally did issue a statement. We recognize and deeply apologize to all fans affected by the challenges with shuttling from parking to the golf course. We've made significant changes to our transportation system to mitigate these issues moving forward, and we're working on ways to express our regret to those impacted. That's, you know, one of the things. How can you say we're sorry and give people some sense that they're being touched, you know, personally by the LPGA? So
the LPGA offered them two tickets, you know, for Saturday or Sunday to say I'm sorry. But the issue that I have with it is it really looks to me like there were some financial decisions made by the LPGA. Again, I don't think they should be in a position of running the event where they have a financial interest in the actual operation of the event, because the fact is, Danielle, there was just not enough buses. Yeah. They knew how many people were going to be there. They knew what it was going to be like, and they were way short on the number of buses they had and the way they did the whole thing. And I have to think that was driven somewhat by the fact that they are involved financially in the operation of the event. They should not be.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, yeah, six buses for 100,000 people. Yeah.
Yeah. Do the numbers.
How fast do you think these guys can drive? Anyway, yes. Now, on the President's Cup, which is, by the way, next weekend, is this too close together?
I think this whole season is too close together. I really feel like all of the tournaments are wedged into, this period of time that, is avoiding football. I get that. But to me, in the men's game, the majors all came by too fast. You know, they're all in that two-month period now. I don't know. I think it was a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to try and shorten the schedule for both the men and the women. I would like to see these things spread out a little bit more. And the answer is yes, they are too close together. I think it's too bad. It'll be interesting to see. The TV ratings, you know, are suffering right now in golf in general, particularly men's golf, not so much women's, but particularly men's. You know what I feel about that and the whole live situation. But, yes, we should spread these things out a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the President's Cup in mind, the U.S. team captain is Brent Snedeker. And we've got Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, Patrick Cantlay, Sahith Theegala, Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns, Tony Finau, Brian Harman, Russell Henley, Max Homa, they're all on the U.S. team. Now, here's the European team. Sungjae Im, Adam Scott, Tom Kim, Jason Day, Hoonan Byung, Christian Bezuidenhout, Corey Connors, Hughes McKenzie, Siwoo Kim, Minwoo Lee, Taylor Pendrith, and Hideki Matsuyama. This is such an international, it's the game has grown so phenomenally that European team sounds more like Asia, Europe, anything you want to throw in.
Yeah, you know, to me, the key for this whole thing, and the U.S. has been totally dominant in the President's Cup. I think this is probably a President's Cup where the international team absolutely has to win in order to keep this event being viable going forward, because they've only won it one time. Now, the last couple of tries, they've been close. They played them tough in Charlotte. I was down there. The internationals looked like they had them on the ropes on Saturday afternoon and ended up letting them get away on Sunday in the singles, and the U.S. won again. But the one big advantage that they have this year, Danielle, is you look at some of those names on that international team, it is loaded with Canadians, and they are playing in Montreal. Uh-huh. The captain is Mike Weir, so you got a Canadian captain, and you've got Taylor Pendrith and Mackenzie Hughes and Corey Connors. You got all these Canadians that I think are going to rally this crowd, and if they could get ahead, or if they could at least play them even in the morning's session on Thursday, opening day, I think they'll have a chance. I don't think stand much of a chance if they get too far behind early on, because they're not good at coming back. But I think if they get ahead, the internationals could give them a run this year.
Yeah, that would be great. It would really be great. I mean, the U.S. team is Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa. Those are the top three guys in the world. And then, you know, just add the rest. All of them are strong players and terrific contenders. And they've been there. They've, experienced it, you know, in the hot seat. So I do, too. I hope they put up a nice, strong number and it becomes a competition. And that's what we'd like to see. A couple of things, of course, that happened. Tiger went on social media and said, hey, by the way, I just had another back surgery. And wow, you know, he wants to play golf. And I get it. He doesn't want to be in pain. I get that. A micro decompression surgery in the lumbar spine, nerve impingement in the lower back. No wonder he can't play. I mean, he shouldn't be playing if he's feeling that kind of pain.
Yeah, we're seeing the end of Tiger's career. There's no doubt in my mind. This is his sixth back surgery. Mm. You can't go through that many back surgeries. You know, everybody's talking about the big three events for Tiger at this upcoming time of year are, number one, his own tournament in the Bahamas in December. That one's in jeopardy now. He's got the father-son, of course, which has almost become his fifth major with his son, Charlie.
Yeah.
That one's in December also. I would think that one's in trouble. The one that's going to be interesting, though, is this TGL, this Indoor Golf League.
Yes.
Of which, you know, he is the primary investor. They're already starting a year later than they were going to because the facility got blown down in a storm a year ago. So they have had all kinds of problems with that. There's no doubt that Tiger would be playing in the opening match, which is in January of 2025. You know, that's only, what, 4 months from now?
Yeah, that's,
I don't know. I would think that one's in trouble. And if Tiger didn't play in that, that would have a huge impact on that event. So these surgeries typically have a recovery time of, 8 to 12 weeks, I would think.
Yeah.
He'd be right on the edge. But either way, he's not going to be competitively sharp or totally prepared to play in any of those tournaments.
Yeah. I can only feel for him because the feelings that he must get remember when he was on and the sense of accomplishment and, you know, just pride. And you don't have that anymore. It's really hard to find something to replace that. And I totally understand why he still wants to play and certainly be involved. John Rahm says he has no intention of paying his outstanding DP World Tour fines. And if he doesn't, of course, he doesn't get to play on the Ryder Cup. The guy's got money. What's his problem? Do you know anything about this? This is weird.
Well, yeah, I know that John Rahm is a really stubborn guy. You know, I've had my times with John Rahm about even things that I've said about him on Golf Central or when I was doing on-course commentary with him. But he is a stubborn, stubborn guy, and you're right. I mean, he has got so much money, he could pay the fine simply. I don't know. The question is going to be, can the European Tour manage to stand firm and somehow keep him off of that Ryder Cup team? I think that would be a big mistake. You know, the Ryder Cup has become, even Rory McIlroy said it the other day, he thinks the Ryder Cup is the best event in golf now. Now, this is McIlroy, a guy who originally, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago said he thought it was nothing more than an exhibition.
Yeah.
And he's right. But it will decline rapidly. And I think we all were so looking forward to 2025 and Phil Mickelson and Ian Poulter and all of that. We're not going to get any of that. But to not get John Rahm for that Ryder Cup, to me, would be devastating. And if that were the case, I think the U.S. would roll him in New York.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're absolutely right. And we want a strong competition. Or maybe we should have the Ryder Cup, women against men. No. That's the President's Cup, Danielle. Oh, it's always so good to talk with you. We could go on and on about, I mean, just live itself just makes me nuts. But there's no progress, so that's the way it is, right?
Yeah, hopefully that's going to change. And, you know, you and I will be talking a lot over the next 3 months. We got a little bit of downtime. I'm going to be in Connecticut for Golf Channel quite a bit. And so we'll keep talking about it. But to me, this thing has got to be resolved before the end of the year. If it doesn't, you're going to see by 2026 some really big changes, and they will not be good for the PGA Tour.
There you go. And you know what? The most exciting thing is the century. The century
Can't
is happening.
Wait.
Yes, I know, me neither. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us this morning.
Thanks as always, Danielle. Take care.
You too. Aloha. All right. Karen Palacios Jensen is in the clubhouse, and she's going to help us tee it up, you know, and really, I mean, all the things this lady does, she is really an amazing asset. And I've got, you know, putting, chipping, iron shots, driving, mental focus. What if somebody could get that narrowed down to a 10-minute practice plan? Well, she did. We'll be back with Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Okay, we're close, but we didn't get our winner. So, you know, if you called, call back, because you can win two rounds of golf. Volcano Golf Course. It's an awesome course on Hawaii Island, Big Island, and it's just a fabulous course to play. Two rounds will be yours. Just give us a call, 808-545-1111.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
I love Aloha Power equipment. You know, Aloha Power is always thinking about you. It's Aloha Power's Honda generator sale. And we have specials every size. You can save $200 on the Honda EU 2200. And they have a free extended warranty worth $250 for a total savings of $450. Keep your lights on and your equipment running on the job while others are, you know, in the dark. And we have power outages, you know that. You want them, we got them today, and we ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station. And in Waipahu, weed it, whack it, mow it, done. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. She created it. Cardio Golf TV creator. She's an LPGA master teaching professional, the lead instructor for Golf Channel, Golf Digest top 50 best golf fitness trainers, the only LPGA professional on that list. She's on Facebook at Cardio Golf. Of course, her husband, by the way, is Olympic gold medalist Dan Jensen. And he uses her exercise program and her exercise aids. You know, follow along, folks. Welcome into the clubhouse, Karen.
Yes, you have to keep up. In our house.
I mean, really, you know, I mean, if he's using your exercise program, it's got to be good. All right. You know, just 5 minutes a day keeps you in your golfing shape. That we can do that, folks, 5 minutes a day. But I love your cardio golf daily 10-minute practice plan to prepare for competition?
Yes. You know, I started this summer, particularly for one of my clients, a really busy guy who was a really good golfer at one time, and then, you know, life happened, and now he wants to get back in competition, but of course he doesn't have that time to practice. So I was like, you have 10 minutes to practice, and he lives by the golf course, so he can just pop over there for 10 minutes and do a little bit every day. And he, you know, he's a seasoned golfer, so he has good technique, so that little keeps him going. And I really think that's something that everybody should kind of invest in. I have a lot of people that have this all or nothing mentality. They're like, oh, you know, if I don't practice 2 hours, it doesn't count. Well, you know, who has that kind of time? And when you go, who knows what to practice for 2 hours? It's not really 2 hours practice. It's, you know, 5 minutes here talking, then you're on your phone, you're getting a drink. So why not concentrate 10 minutes a little bit every day, and then you build on that. And, you know, maybe that 10 minutes, you actually have 15, 20 minutes, so it's better. But a little bit something every day, and then instead of trying to, like, get big chunks of time that never happen.
Yeah. So the drill, short putts with confidence. I mean, that's a beautiful statement right there, because confidence and putting don't usually go together for most folks, right? So talk to us about this short putts with confidence drill.
Well, so my practice schedules, just like my workouts, Danielle, go for the season that we're in. And I'm in North Carolina, and we're starting to get to the fall. And this is the season where most golf courses have their member guests, their club championships. That's because the golf course is in the best shape. It's the best weather. So people are playing in these competitions. And think about it, like during the year, the beginning of the year, we're playing for fun, or you're playing for $5. Right. So the guy gives you a putt. But now you're in a competition where you have to count every single shot. So you need to practice a little bit as if you were in competition. So these next couple weeks have my program is to help people prepare as if they were in a competition. So I like to have people practice those short putts, because they're going to have to putt those out if they're in the club championship.
Right. So you practice 3 to 5 putts from 3 to 5 feet, hitting them firmly to ensure they drop. Aim to avoid leaving putts short. So the tip you have here is this drill helps you get used to the pressure of making those must-make putts in your event. I like that. So what if I can't get to the golf course? Is there a way to do this indoors?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I really recommend is don't guess how far you're putting. Actually measure out. Everybody has a tape measure or a yardstick. And, like, measure out a 3-foot putt and then practice those 3-foot putts, and even say to yourself, this is the 3-foot putt. So your body knows how far back and through that you need to swing for that 3-foot putt. Don't just guess. Then go back 6 feet, 12 feet. If you have a long hallway, you can do, you know, 30 footers maybe. but yes, you can practice those inside. But I really recommend you knowing how far your putts are, because you don't want to be guessing how far back and through for that distance.
You know, what you just said about the body needs to know, a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, your brain and your body, or the body needs instructions prior to, you know, it's such an important thing to let the body know what 3 feet is. Okay, chipping for 2 minutes. The up and down challenge. Tell us about it.
Yes. So a lot of people practice their chipping and they're like, oh, I hit good chips because they feel solid and they land on the green. But is it really a good chip? Would you be able to go up there and putt it in one shot? So I recommend that people practice getting up and down. Put pressure on yourself to chip it close so that you have a stress-free putt. Because if you're just chipping randomly to a putting green, yes, maybe they're, like, technique-wise good chips, but are they close to the green? Are you going to 3-putt from there? So practice trying to get the ball within that 3-foot circle. And 3-footers, generally, you know, we can make those.
Yeah. It's a nice distance. It's easy to eye it out. The tip was use different clubs to adapt to various lies and situations, simulating real course conditions. Of course, doing chipping indoors might not be all that easy, right?
Right. Well, you know, if you have a little indoor chipping area, but yes, or you could chip in your backyard.
Yeah.
The other thing I would recommend when you're chipping is try not to put the ball on a perfect lie every time, because you're not going to have a perfect lie on the golf course. Just throw out 10 balls, and wherever it lands, it lands. And then you got to figure out how to, you have to dig it a little bit more or sweep it. You have to practice that.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. Don't put it in the perfect position. Iron shots. Target practice is the drill. You want to pick it up from there? Yeah.
Right. So generally when higher handicappers, mid-handicappers get closer to the green, they have a better chance of hitting their target. So you want to practice trying to hit your target. Again, you know, if you're on the driving range, pick out a flag with a little, maybe, you know, 15, 20-foot circle and try to land the ball within that circle, because that means that you've landed on the green and you're probably going to have a 10 or 15-foot putt. So don't just randomly, like, swing and hit your iron. Yes, that's a way to practice your swing and get your body loose, but are you really practicing trying to hit a target like you do when you're on the golf course? So that's why golf is so different on the course as if you were on the driving range, because on the driving range, you have a big ocean that you can swing into. When you're on the driving range, you have like a little pinpoint that you're trying to get. So you have to practice hitting your target.
Right on. Driving. Now, here's a 2-minute drill for driving, the controlled power drill. How does that work?
Well, so, you know, power is important in golf. All the stats that they show is the farther you hit it, the better you're going to score, because when you have a left club into the green, it's a little bit easier. So you want to practice getting more distance, but you also want to keep the ball in the fairway. So again, practice if you were on a golf course, if you're at the driving range, pick out two spots, like goal posts, and try to swing the ball in that area, just as if you were on the fairway. Again, if you're just standing on the driving range and trying to hit it this far, that's okay. But, you know, are you going to be in the fairway? Are you going to be in the woods or out of bounds or something? So practice trying to hit in within your fairway.
And all of this, by the way, that we're talking about, you don't have to remember it, because you can go to, you're on Instagram and so many others. So where else can we find you for folks who don't have Instagram issues?
CardioGolf.com. If you go to CardioGolf.com, you can copy and paste the practice program, or you can take a screenshot of it and then you can take it to the golf course, print it out. So CardioGolf.com, and you'll see our programs, the weekly workout program. And again, I structure the program depending on the season that we're in. So we're in club championship season. So it's all about trying to score, trying to practice, get ready for that tournament. You know, when we go more into the middle of winter, the practice will be more, you know, trying to change your swing, trying to improve your technique, trying to get more power. The spring, again, we're going to try to get you back into the game. So it changes with the season, just like my workout changed with the season.
Yeah, and mental focus is the last one, the drill, pre-shot routine practice. So important.
I think that first tee, Danielle, really is important. It sets you up for the tone of the day. You know, if you have a bad tee shot, you know, you're like, oh, here it goes, and you can get down a deep, dark hole. But if you have a decent tee shot, it doesn't need to be great. It just needs to be decent in the middle of fairway. You have that sigh of relief. So practice as if you were on the first tee. You know, go through a little routine that you can repeat, that you don't, doesn't take a lot of time, that's not complicated, that relaxes you, and practice that so that you have that routine down. And on the first tee, your job is to get that ball in the fairway, into play, and then you're ready to go. You don't want to start out with out of bounds or, you know, it's off the first tee.
Or topping it. Visualizing the shot you want to hit. That's one of the statements she has in Mental Focus, and I love that. Visualize the shot you want to hit, and that visualization will probably translate to your body, and it needs to know what it's supposed to do. It's getting all your instructions.
Right. Yeah, you know, all the studies show that visualization can be just as powerful as the act of doing whatever it is. So try to be positive. I know it's hard, but, you know, that's why we play the game, because it's hard and it's satisfying when we do it well.
Yeah. One of the statements that I found on your site, cardiogolf.com, is to maximize your golf performance. The golf athlete needs to do a variety of different exercises and workouts to build overall fitness. If your physical limitations are holding you back from playing your best golf, just 5 minutes a day and you can get into golfing shape. We can find that at cardiogolf.com too?
Yeah, cardiogolf.com. So if you just click on there, the best thing that I would say is to start a free trial. You can go on there for a whole month and you can go through my whole program. And I hold your hand. Every day I have a new workout we do. I start out with a warm-up. We do either strength or cardio, endurance, mobility. I have post-round stretches that you can do. I even have what's called, we haven't talked about this yet, Danielle, I even have what we call the micro workout. And it's that program that you can do if you know you're not going to be able to do anything the rest of the day. It's less than 10 minutes. It hits all the muscles. We do mobility, strength, swing technique, a little stretching, and boom, you're ready to go for the rest of the day if you can't get to a bigger workout. And that's great for people that are super busy but want to keep up their fitness. And it's good for people that are just starting that don't know what to do. You can do a five-minute workout, and then, it feels good. And then the next day you can try, like, a bigger workout and just build on that every day. But, yes, if you go to cardiogolf.com, you can start a free trial, and that's what I recommend for everyone to do.
Wow. And what is the name of the exercise program? Is the that you just mentioned? I want to do this.
Oh, I call it a micro workout, and it's on my app. So if every day I place the micro workout first, that's the workout that you would do if you don't think you can get to the rest of the stuff. And every day it changes. One day we do mobility, one day we do strength, one day we do a little agility, you know, things that you won't be doing for the rest of the day. So you need to get in that little fitness to help you move better. And, you know, as we age, I hate to say this, we kind of lose it, so we got to use it. And yeah. You want to be doing something every day, but not all of us have that kind of time. So I developed these micro workouts.
I like it. I like it. And I want to do it in the morning. I want to do it in the morning. When I'm not thinking too much, you know, just start going through the motions. And pretty soon after you start going through the motions, then you get into it and your body gets into it and it becomes a part of you. And I think that's when exercise really takes shape. You know, it's just so important that, your body is doing it and you're happy and it makes you feel good. And I haven't done any exercise in a while. So I want to start with your micro workout at cardiogolf.com. Yes. Now, what about your slope? You're also big into yoga.
I am. I love yoga. Well, so maybe next month you can have me on again. It's going to be the 5th year anniversary of the development and the manufacturing of my slope. And I call it the Cardio Golf Fit Slope. It's, for lack of a better way to explain it, it's a fitness bench that you can do, like, old-fashioned step aerobics, but it has a twist. It's for golfers. It's shaped like a fairway slope because we don't always have a perfectly flat lie. I know I've played in Hawaii, and there's a lot of uphill, downhill lies.
Right.
You guys, side hill, ball below your feet. So, you know, think about that. Driving ranges are completely flat. There's nowhere ever to practice. So this helps you learn how to, you know, distribute your weight and how to swing depending on what kind of lie you're on, and we do all of my golf fitness exercises on it. again, you know, exercising on a flat surface is fine, but in nature, you're never walking on a flat surface. So you want to be practicing some exercise with your foot higher than your hip, a little imbalance to help you with your core strength, and just as if you were in nature, because nature is not completely flat.
You know, you're going to be on next month. I'm always inspired. You inspire me. And yeah, absolutely. And I love all the different things that you do. And your energy is infectious. And I really appreciate Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. That's where you find it. Cardio Golf TV. When was the last time? Are you still doing Cardio Golf TV?
Yes, that's my app. So when you go on cardiogolf.com, it'll direct you to the app, which is Cardio Golf TV. It's the same.
Is it like watching you do things and
yes.
follow along?
It's all the workouts out there. You go on there and you can, you know, let's say click on Monday and start with a micro workout, or we have the pre-round warm-up routine. I have workouts I call Groove Your Swing, where you work on your swing technique, post-round routines to help you balance. So if you don't get a chance to play, that would be your practice for the day.
Wow. Okay. All right. Until next month, which is just days away. Karen Palacios Jensen, cardiogolf.com. Go there. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Absolutely. Aloha. All right. Stretch Lab. Speaking of, you know, getting your body in shape, Stretch Lab is, you know, somebody's helping you get your stretch in. And you've heard me talk about Stretch Lab Hawaii. It's doctor recommended, golfer approved. It really is an awesome experience. I felt improved. My flexibility improved right away. So I want you to have the option to experience this 50-minute one-on-one complimentary stretch at Stretch Lab. Okay? You see it in the movies. At least I always have this image of the person walking into the office with something really important, and the person they want to talk to has got their head and kind of turns around because they're being stretched. Of course, you've got to do the stretching. Somebody helps direct the muscles in the right. It's just really cool, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So 808-545-1111, you'll win that 50-minute flex stretch either at Kahala Mall, Kailua, Ward Center, and we all deserve a good stretch for the body. So 808-545-1111. Give us a call from Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club and Stretch Lab Hawaii.
How do the pros keep their bodies fit? With professional stretching routines from Stretch Lab Hawaii. Our one-on-one assisted stretching sessions are designed to improve your flexibility and swing. Our highly experienced flexologists tailor each session to your needs so you can move better, feel better, and play better. Visit our studios at Kahala Mall, Kailua, and Ward Center. Stretch Lab. Live long, golf strong. Mention the Golf Club for half off your 50-minute stretch and mobility assessment at Stretch Lab Hawaii. When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Allison Wallace is Tournament Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee Hawaii, founded by Mary B. Porter King. And Allison is a University of Georgia graduate, bachelor's in public relations, and a minor in sports management. That is such a cool combination. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hi, Danielle. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. And how about you? Are you ready to have a tournament?
I'm almost ready.
How many kids do you have?
55.
I hope you have help.
We do. We rely a lot on our volunteers, and I rely heavily on our intern, Connor, who is like my right-hand man in everything I do.
That is fantastic. So September 14th, here we are. It is Saturday and Sunday the 15th. This is Puakea Golf Course. Is that where you are?
Yes.
Awesome. What's it like right now?
I mean, it's calm. It's early in the morning, so the winds aren't really busier. The sun's not completely out yet, so it's kind of like the calm before the storm, before everything picks up and it gets really hot, and then there's golfers everywhere and billions of things to do.
It's going to be a little breezy today. They say the wind's going to pick up like maybe 18 miles an hour with a little stronger gust at time, and not quite always 18, but possibly there. And about 86 degrees is the high forecast instead of 92. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take all that I can get.
Right. Now, who plays in your tournaments? Give us some background.
So right now our program is really just designed, and I think it's really a cool program to be involved with, is that it's made to be for any junior golfer who wants to learn the game of golf in a competitive environment. So our main focus are kids ages 7 to 18. We start from the beginning, and it's all about growing a golfer and giving them opportunities that can help prepare them to be responsible, to grow in integrity, to building new friendships, building relationships, accountability. It really just anyone who's interested in playing golf and learning what it's like to be at the next level in the game of golf.
Wow. Okay. So if I'm 7 years old, am I competing at the Puakea golf course today in the tournament?
Yes, you are.
Wow. And how long has a 7-year-old been playing golf to be ready for this kind of tournament?
I mean, you definitely see some things that vary, but I think that's the best part about starting young is you've got some kids that probably have been playing for 4 or 5 years now, and they've been playing since they could walk and hold a club.
Wow.
But you've also got a few kids that it's like, they've only been playing a year, and maybe not even a year. Like, this might be some of their first tournament seasons or even some of their first tournaments in general. And I think it's important that we distinguish that it's like, yes, we're here to help them teach and learn to be at the next competitive level, but we're also here to show them that playing at a competitive level can still be fun and should still be fun.
Yes. Oh, that is very good. You know, and do you teach them not to take it too seriously? I mean, taking it seriously comes natural. You want to do good, but to not hurt, you know, beat yourself up if it's not a good shot?
Yes, and I think that's like one of the biggest things that I've stressed just in my position is that it's like, you know, it's a bad shot, not a bad round.
Yes.
Like, I think all the kids that have talked to me after their rounds, and it's like, you know what? Like, that is only perception. You could hit a shot, and it's like, you look at the pros when they play. They hit a shot, and it might be not be what they want, but you can still play it. You can still produce a good round. And I think it's just really showing them that it's like, you know what? Like, some things are unfavorable. It's the same with life. Some things are unfavorable, and some things are. And it's really just about the breaks you get and the attitude that you put forth to carry on with what you got.
Allison, you're so right on.
No, I think it's just really important to help the kids realize that it's like, you know what, you can hit good shots, but you can also hit bad shots. And not everything's going to be perfect, but it's always going to be what you make it. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I love about the game of golf, but I also love about working with these juniors that, like, especially when they're playing in our tournaments, is that we've got a good environment and we play at a really high level, but you can still have fun and you can still learn and you can still grow. And then you're also now prepared for the level of competition when you go play in bigger and international events, huge national events. And you're also more mentally strong, that you can look at this and say, like, oh, I've been through that. I know how to hit these bad shots, and I know that it's not as bad as I think it is. And I'd hope that's something that, besides the golf, that they're learning and growing in the game of golf and all that teaches, but they're also growing as a person when they come through this organization.
Yeah, and also the bad shot is not a reflection of themselves inside. It doesn't make you a failure. You know, a lot of kids take it so seriously that they feel like that one shot defines their value. And that's the most important thing to me, that a child needs to learn, that doesn't, you know, you're still the great person that you are. Just because you hit the shot bad doesn't diminish your value.
Oh, no, I couldn't agree more. And I think, like, one thing I've always just tried to tell myself and tried to tell any team members that we're working with, that it's like reminding these kids that it's like, they're worth more than what their scorecard says.
Thank you.
Like,
yes.
At the end of the day, that you are going to be, they're all just such good golfers. And I think at the end of the day, like, they're all good people and they're all amazing kids and they all have such bright futures. And I would never want them to leave the golf course thinking that, like, because my number wasn't what I wanted, I'm not able to be what I want to be one day.
Yeah.
And I think that's just something that's important in creating an environment of who are these kids and getting to know them and getting to put them in different situations and just really, like, building relationships among them and with them, and realizing that it's like golf is, of course, the most important thing. We're all learning to play, but also we're learning about each other and we're learning about life and things like that. And I think it's just a really unique position that we have as an organization to be here and help facilitate all these amazing things that these kids can learn just from playing in a tournament and playing just the game of golf.
Allison Wallace is Tournament Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee Hawaii. It was founded by Mary B. Porter King. And Allison is responsible for planning, running, organizing events for HSJGA, along with teaching First Tee, running social media, managing the local office, and then there's and more. What's the and more? I mean, you know, whatever is thrown at you, you're going to be taking it on. That's pretty bottom line.
I think we've definitely started to expand our team, which has been really great. And I think it's just a matter of, like, working in a nonprofit, we have so many different bases that we have the opportunity to cover.
Yeah.
And so I think it is just a lot of, like, where can you help and where can you learn? I find myself learning every single day. So I think it's beyond whether it's coaching or it's building relationships or finding different ways that it's like, okay, like, how can we make our tournaments better? How can we help the kids learn more? What more things can we provide for them in the sense of, like, supporting them and supporting their futures and helping them achieve their goals? Just trying to figure out how we can always be better and how we can always offer more.
That's great. We should all have that kind of mindset. Now, this tournament is this weekend, September 14 and 15, and it's at Puakea Golf Course. And thank you, Puakea. Next is the Big Island Junior Championship at Hualalai, and that's September 28 and 29. Now, who gets to sign up for this, and when's the deadline?
So the Big Island Junior Championship will close this upcoming Wednesday, but I will say we are limited on tee times just because we can only work with what the golf course gives us. But when it comes down to the end of the day, these tournaments are open to anyone who wants to be a member with us. So if you're a resident of Hawaii and you want to play golf, then all you need to do is create an HSJGA membership and like pay for your yearly membership, and then you can play in any tournament. They're open to anyone and everyone who wants to learn how to play golf.
Yeah, you mean anybody older than 18 or anybody between?
Anyone between 7 and 18. So gotcha. Any juniors.
There you go, because this is a junior golf organization. Yes, so 7 to 18, and how about first tee? You know, I know you teach first tee. How old are the kids?
It's usually around the same age, so 7 to 18, but there is a little more wiggle room sometimes with first tee of, like, we've seen some kids come into programs that have been, like, 5 or 6, and they're like, hey, like, my kid's been playing for a couple months now, like, they're really well-behaved, they're really wanting to get into this program, and so we've tried to help them with that, but it is mainly between, I think, our biggest age division in first tee that we see, at least on Oahu, is 7 to 9. They're so much fun. They're so cute. They walk in and they're just ready to get their day started every single day. But that is really just open to any and all kids.
Awesome.
In between the ages of 7 and 18.
Awesome. Maui Junior Championship is at Wailea Blue Course, October 12th through the 13th. It closes on October 2nd. So that's when you have to, you know, have shown. How do we sign up? Who do we call?
So to sign up, I mean, there's honestly a couple different ways, but the best way to do it is that in order to sign up, you have to be a member first. So once you create your member profile, the first things you have to do are you have to pass a rules quiz, just because we want to make sure our junior golfers are up to date on the rules and they know what they're getting themselves into in our tournament. And then make sure they have an active gin. If they don't have one, then we can help them out with that. But once they've got that profile created, they can just log into their Golf Genius account, and then they'll go right on Golf Genius and sign up for our tournament. If not, then I'd say that's the best way to do it, pretty much the only way. But then if not, parents are also feel free to call our office, send us an email, and I can help them get set up with a Golf Genius account and get them signed up in tournaments.
Awesome. And it's hsjga.org. How do we find? Is that how
yes.
we find you? Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say our contact information should be on the page, but a good email to send it to would just be info@hsjga.org. But there should be a contact page on the website. All of our information is on there, and they can feel free to use any of that information to reach out to us, and we'll get back to them as soon as possible.
Awesome. And then you have the Tour Championship, December 7th and 8th, and that's at the Wailea Golf Club on the Emerald Course. You travel a lot, don't you?
I do.
And then there's the 2024 team events, the Girls Junior America's Cup, the Junior America's Cup, the Eddie Hogan Cup. It's nonstop. And then there's the USGA Junior and Girls Junior Amateur Qualifiers, Optimist. I mean, the list is long, but I know you've got a lot to do, and I don't want to hold you in, hostage here. But the 2024 HSJGA scholarship application, it's too late for this year, but is there something for next year?
Yes, so we actually award scholarships every single year to active HSJGA members. We just closed the one for 2024, but probably here in the next few months we'll open one for starting in the 2025 graduates. And I think that's just a really cool opportunity. That's also one of my many tasks that I head up. I'm in charge of our scholarships and getting those organized. But I think it's really cool because I think the best part about our scholarship is that it is recurring. You just have to apply every single year. And so kids have the opportunity to be funded as long as they're in school and just to sign up as long as they were a member with us in their senior year. And just
That's
we
awesome.
We want to help them beyond their junior golf career.
That's awesome. You know, this is something I didn't know about. And I was like, wow. In 2023, the HSJGA awarded over $30,000 in scholarship funds. So this is great. Allison Wallace is tournament director of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee Hawaii. Is there something I didn't bring up that you wanted to talk about?
Not that I can think of right now. I think the scholarships is a great place to touch base on because I think that's a really cool opportunity, and I'd love to talk more about that one day when we probably have some more time.
Yeah, great.
That's what I can think of for right now.
Yeah, this is great. This is great. And, yeah, because, you know, after all, you're on a deadline. You've got to get a bunch of – how many kids did you say you have, 45 today or 55?
55.
I better let you go.
Well, thanks for having me, Danielle.
It's my pleasure. Allison Wallace, Tournament Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, First Tee Hawaii. Aloha. We're going to come back. Ron Syrak's going to join us. Ron is one of the most ladies golf, women's golf, girls golf, just proponents that, you know, you'll ever meet. He likes, you know, watching the women compete, and I'm sure he's got a lot to say about Solheim Cup and whether maybe, you know, maybe Stacey Lewis wants it to be the President's Cup, men versus women. I think that's a really good idea. But we'll talk more after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
All right. Aloha Power Equipment. Yes, Aloha Power Equipment, Honda generator sale, and it's, you know, it's fabulous because there's a $200 savings on the Honda EU 2200, and then they throw in the free extended warranty that's worth $250. That's a total savings of $450 because it's Aloha Power's Honda generator sale. So you keep your lights on, your equipment running on the job while many of us are in the dark. You want them? Well, we've got them today and we can ship them to you. Off island from Oahu, Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile. If you're heading over there, it's right next to the gas station. If you're going toward the ocean, Makai bound, yeah, you just go right down, make a right after the gas station. Weed it, whack it, mow it. Yes. And then you're done. And all the equipment is doing the work and you're not sore afterwards. It's Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Hey, Alan, congratulations. You're going to play at Volcano Golf Course, and we'll be sending you those certificates, as it were, that, you know, round two rounds of golf. And we haven't gotten our winner yet for the Stretch Lab. And you really need to go there. It's so cool. I did, and I really liked how it felt. It really taught me like the best way to move my legs, to stretch them out so that you really get that. Your body needs it because we sit all day long, and it's a very cool experience. Just call us, 545-1111, of course, 808 first. This doesn't affect your chance to win rounds of golf. And, you know, I talk about Stretch Lab. It's doctor approved, golfer approved, and I felt improved. My flexibility, I just realized how I can really make my back not as sore, because I'm stretching out the muscles in buttocks, legs, back, all of that. And they really help you find those great stretch points. That's Stretch Lab Hawaii, and the number is 808-545-1111 to win your 50-minute one-on-one complimentary stretch.
The golf club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and co-author with Vision 54 Trilogy, that's with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson, including Play Your Best Golf Now. He's a member of the Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Danielle, always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, I can't think of anybody, Solheim Cup. It's got to be Ron Cyrak talking with me about the Solheim Cup. And you were the first person, to say Alison Corpuz, a great competitor. She and Nelly Korda really put it on today. Tell us your thoughts on the Solheim Cup so far.
Yeah, you know, what we're really seeing is Europe had the more experienced team, very, very experienced team. Anna Nordqvist had played 6 Solheim Cups, Taganda 6, Charlie Hall 4, Georgia Hall 4. But the United States just has deeper, deeper talent, and we're really seeing a changing of the guard. I mean, we remember, it wasn't that long ago, it was Morgan Pressel, Paula Creamer, Brittany Lincecome, Brittany Lang, those players. Now it's Nelly Korda and Alison Corpuz, Lilia Vu, Danielle Kang. And then the two rookies, Sarah Schmelzer and Laura Coughlin, just playing lights out, and Rose Zhang emerging as a star. What we're really seeing right now is the Americans passing the torch on to a new generation, and they look like they're really, really going to be good for a long time in the come.
Yeah, they're ready for it. They're ready for the torch. That's awesome. Is it still 4-8?
Yeah, and it's Europe's going to have to win 3 of the 4 points in the afternoon four-ball session to have a chance. You know, they got to be down 9-7 going into singles play, because Americans tend to do better in singles. And it's 8-4 right now, and the matches are all – they're early, they're on the front nine, and they're pretty close. But Europe needs to – they let a chance slip away from them in the morning session today. They had the lead in 3 different matches at one point. And they let it come out sort of as a wash, and that's all the Americans need to do from here on in is just keep winning as many matches as you lose, and they can't be beat.
Yeah, I was watching this morning at 3 a.m. my time. And then I had to, get to the studio, and I don't have a TV to watch it here. That's why I'm like, oh, my goodness, what is the score? I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. It was. What did you think of Allison's shot? What was it on? I don't remember the 14th hole. I'm not sure if that's the right hole. It was.
Well, to me, that's one of. It's why I think that team formats in match play is just the most exciting format that there is in golf, because people are trying to gamble on every shot, and people are trying to pull off miracles all the time and can play really, really aggressive. And that's, to me, that's what makes this just such a compelling, compelling event.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, watching Allison and then Nelly get the eagle putt, you know, it was just a thrill. It was just a thrill to see. And they seem to get along really well, and they play off each other nicely. And Allison's got that really steady, you know, and not a lot bothers her. That she shows, at least, you know, she just keeps going,
I think that you hit on a great point there. This American team seems to be in this changing of the guard, this new wave of players. They seem to have a great chemistry.
Yeah,
they all seem to get along well together. You know, and they got some real grinders out there. You look at Vu and Corpuz, and they just grind and grind and grind. And you know, Schmelzel and Coghlan, Sarah Schmelzel, Lauren Coghlan, they're both playing in their first Solheim Cup. But they're no spring chickens. You know, they're 31 years old. They've been out there for a while. They've got some experience under their belt, and they got hunger. You know, they really, really, really want to prove that they belong to be here, and they're playing that way.
Yeah.
And I do think that we're starting to see Rose Zhang emerge as somebody who could be the center of the U.S. team for another decade. She certainly thrives in match play. And, you know, she won the girls junior. She won the women's AM. She won the NCAA, all in match play situations. So she knows how to get it done, how to play in that format.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, when was the last time the U.S. team won? Was it?
Well, Europe has won the last. Well, they had two wins and a tie. They kept it last year on a tie. So what is that? 2017 is the last time. And you know, I remember in 2011, going into the Solheim Cup in 2011, which was Killeen Castle in Ireland, and there was a lot of talk. Americans had won three in a row. There was a lot of talk. We need to blow up the format. We need to include Asia in this because Europe is just no match for the United States. And then in the last hour at Killeen Castle, Europe won 3.5 of the last 4 points to win that competition. And since then, in the last 7 Solheim Cups, Europe's won 4, lost 2, and tied 1. So it's turned into an intensely competitive competition.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt about it at all. So what do you think about Stacey Lewis, the captain of the U.S. team, who says the President's Cup should be men versus women?
I think that's a great idea because basically, maybe if you want my honest opinion,
yes,
the President's Cup interests me less than any other event out there. It's like there's no chemistry, there's no magic. The international team's totally a made up squad, and I think in the LPGA when the LPGA had the international crown,
uh-huh,
that was a better format that included the rest of the world. So I think that I like that idea as long as it doesn't impact the Solheim Cup. Solheim Cup has to remain exactly as it is right now. It's become, like the Ryder Cup, such a compelling, intense event that we don't want that to go away. But if you're going to add a mixed gender event or to the schedule, I'm all for that. You know, there's talk that in the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles, there's going to be mixed gender team events in golf there, which
wow,
would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good idea because, I don't know, it doesn't have the same kind of quality to it, that competition that we see that in the Olympics. It just doesn't work unless it's, I don't know, I have a hard time putting it to words. I apologize.
Well, I think that what they're going to do, and this is terrific for golf, because, you know, when golf was first reinstated to the Olympics in 2016, hadn't been there in 104 years or whatever, when it was first reinstated, there were a lot of people who thought, golf's not global enough. It's not going to be competitive enough. Well, it turned out that it's incredibly global, incredibly competitive. And the fact that they're now thinking of adding another format to the event, they're going to keep the individual play but then add a team match play thing, just shows how golf has earned its footing in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And now the Olympics is looking at golf as a growth sport in the game. wouldn't it be really cool if in 2028 in Los Angeles, Scottie Scheffler and Nellie Korda are on the same team competing against, you know, two players from another country. That would be really cool.
That would be really cool. What an awesome team they'd make. Yes, I'd say the President's Cup should be a team format. Okay, Solheim Cup controversy. Why does there have to be controversy? Well, Robert Trent Jones Jr. Golf Club is a fabulous golf course. Unfortunately, you have to park far away, and I guess walking to the course was not an option, that you had to, you know, bus it, but you had to wait 2 to 3 hours for the bus to take you there. What happened?
Yeah, the LPGA just dropped the ball big time on this. And you know, this happens a lot at major championships, but usually early in the week. It's usually like at a major Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday during the practice rounds. They're working out the kinks about the transportation system. But here, boom, all of a sudden on Friday morning, people had two-hour waits on the parking lot to try to get into the golf course. And you know, what it cost the event was that wild, crazy, fun atmosphere on the first tee as the event began. You know, people weren't singing and dancing and chanting the way normally because they couldn't get to the golf course. The LPGA has put out a letter. They admitted that they messed up on it. They're offering some sort of payback to the people who bought tickets where they can take guests in on the weekend. But that was just exactly the kind of publicity the LPGA and women's golf doesn't need in an event like this.
Yeah, when 100,000, was it really 100,000? That's the number I saw. 100,000 people showed up for the Solheim Cup.
Well, I would be skeptical of that number. That sounds like really, really large a number to me. But the fact was, this was going to be a record-setting crowd. And it's been a good location. You know, it's 40 miles from Washington, D.C., so it's in a major metropolitan area where lots of people can get out there. And it's an opportunity. It's on network TV on the afternoons, on the weekends. It's a great opportunity to grow your sport, to grow your game by bringing in new eyes, new fans there. And anybody who goes to a Solheim Cup realize what a special, special atmosphere it is. And those people, if you were going this year for the first time and you stood in line for 2 hours and missed the beginning of the competition, you're not going to be real excited about coming back the next time.
No, unfortunately, you're absolutely right. And there are a lot of people just said, forget it, I'm going home. And you can't blame them. I mean, waiting 2 hours for the good old bus to show up, that would be a tough one, especially after, well, I'm just thrilled that they're doing so well, and everybody on the golf course, certainly the Europeans are, you know, not feeling great, but watching has been a pleasure, and I was really thrilled to see everyone doing so well, and that it just made me very, very happy. And after listening to some of, Beth Ann Nichols was she's like, I can't believe they're not owning this. Come on, apologize. And they finally, she was saying that yesterday or the day before, whenever it happened. To me, all days are coming together into one big bump. So I need to change the subject just a little bit. I want to hear your thoughts on Tiger Woods having another operation.
Yeah, hopefully this is something that can relieve some of the distress that he's feeling. I mean, you can tell it when he's walking the golf course. And, you know, part of it is that he can't work out the same way that he's used to working out, so he doesn't have the same conditioning. But part of it is that his body is just so beat up, and he gets you can see him wincing and having lower back pains. And I hope that I don't want him to go away yet, you know.
Me neither.
People who get angry when Tiger gets a special exemption into an event, in my book, Tiger should be able to play in any event that he wants forever, because what he's contributed to the game is just enormous, and what he's meant to the growth of the game. I hope that at some point he swallows his pride a little bit and is willing to take riding in a cart under the Americans with Disability Act, he would certainly qualify for that because he has a condition that's irreversible.
Yes.
And he could do that on the PGA Tour. He certainly could do that on the Champions Tour. And, you know, he's 48 years old. He's going to be 49 in December. So the year after next, he's eligible to play on the Champions Tour. I hope he does. I want to see him out there. I think he's just great for the game. I think he brings an energy, an excitement, and an attention to the game that's just really unique.
We're on the same page. Absolutely the same page. Chichi Rodriguez, who unfortunately passed away. He was 88. But watching him in the crowd was like worth just, you know, waiting 2 hours for the bus.
I was just a few weeks ago at the U.S. Senior Women's Open. Joanne Carner, who's 85 years old, should be allowed to play as long as she can stand up, you know, because it is just so exciting to see her out there.
Yes.
She is the history of the game. She's one of the great champions of the game. And the fact that she still wants to compete and can still, I mean, she's 85 years old and she's beating people out there. You know, she's shooting her age. That's just awesome for the game. So I think when you have icons like a Tiger Woods, like a Joanne Carner, like a Chichi Rodriguez, you've got to keep them in the mix.
Yeah.
They help grow your game.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something from Rory McIlroy, and I'm glad he's playing a little bit better. He's got so much on his plate. I'm surprised he can play at all. Rory McIlroy, you know, made that announcement that they were going to play the PGA Tour LIV Golf, and they should be playing up against each other. And he's told Golf Week that he and Scottie Scheffler were going to face off against Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau in a made-for-TV match this December. Have you heard anything more about that? It's like it disappeared.
I haven't heard anything more about that. And I would be surprised if either LIV or the PGA Tour would be on board for letting something like that happen until they work out some sort of plan for what the future is going to be between those three. At the same time, a few weeks ago, Jaime Diaz in Golf Digest had a pretty good story, pretty well-sourced story, saying John Rahm seems like did he would give the money back in a heartbeat if he could leave LIV Golf and come back to the PGA Tour. Because he misses the intensity of the competition of the PGA Tour.
Ooh.
So I think we're still a long, long way from this being sorted out.
Yeah. Yeah, and John Rahm doesn't want to pay the fine, so he might not be able to play in the Ryder. You know, it's like there's just so much to unpack or just leave it in the closet. Thank you, Ron Syrak, for being inside the clubhouse with me again. I really love you.
Danielle, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and I'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
Awesome. All right, we got to close up the show. Here we go. Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club is brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii, one-on-one assisted stretching sessions, just like you see in the movies, just like the pros get to improve your flexibility and your swing. Do you know how many golfers go to Stretch Lab? You know, if you're a golfer, you need to go to Stretch Lab. And we have this free 50-minute Stretch Lab for you to experience it, whether it's Kahala Mall, Kailua, Ward Center, Stretch Lab Hawaii, one-on-one assisted stretching sessions. And it's Aloha Powers. Power your job and light the way with the Honda EU 2200 generator sale. It's just $1,299 because you're going to get the free extended warranty and you're getting a $200 savings. We have large selections of riding and walking mowers, chainsaws and whackers, that's weed whackers and trimmers in stock. They're all there. So you can mow it, blow it, bag it, and be done with it and let your smart equipment do the work. Faster, smarter, less painful for the back. Get yours today. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. You can't find them without a sign. So you know what? They can't find you without a sign. And the Aloha Section, PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's a gift that lasts forever. It's for self, health, and friendships. Go golf. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2024.